Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up 500,000 in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take newsletter. I'm also a broker here at Daniels Trading. I work with hedgers and speculators, online trader, broker assisted. If you're a client here and you like what we're talking about, give me a call. If you're not a client and you're interested in working with us, my number is 800-958-9470. You can also check us out on the web, turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com. If you'd like to take a look at my newsletter, Turner's Take, just text the number 33777 33777 with the message Turner. Follow the instructions and you can check that out. And finally, for the podcast, thanks for listening. And if you know anyone who'd like it, send it along. And if you do like it and haven't reviewed us yet on iTunes, please do so. So let's get into it. We've got WASD later this week. We've got weather markets in the grain markets, certainly, even a little bit in the livestock. And we got some macro news to go over. So here we are. We're past the 4th of July. Usually for the grain markets here, it can be really make or break with the weather and the crops. Quickly, just on the macro side of things, we've seen, it looks like to me, the stock market and the energy markets are kind of, I don't know if they're topping out, but they're definitely getting more of a range feeling. They're struggling. You know, crude is struggling to get out of the very low 40s, and the stock market's really struggling to get, like, the stock, the S&P, you know, anything close to over 31,000. I think the old highs were about 34. So we're still about 10% off the lows, off the highs, and it's just hard for the stock market to get it up there. One, you have to have earnings increase to where they were, or, you know, signs of growth pre-COVID. We're also going to have to see, is the economy continue to improve? And something that's working against us here is we are seeing a rise in the coronavirus cases. Now, is that a rise because we're testing more? You know, is it a rise, you know, because we flattened the curve? We were in lockdown for so long. Now we're coming off lockdown. There's naturally going to be a little bit of a comeback, you know, as people be more active. I don't know, but it is something that the market is paying attention to. And we'll just have to see how things pan out with social distancing and the economy's opening back up and how that may affect things. We can't all stay inside and not go out for, you know, a year, right? We also have to practice social distancing, and the, you know, their government has to make sure that, you know, the curve stays flattened to some degree, right? So we'll just have to see how that goes. In the meantime, it's hard to see us not break out of this range. Crude in maybe mid-30s to low-40s is going to be the range for a while. As the economy strengthens and we still have all the stimulus, I would think gold would increase, which is, would be a repeat of the subprime crisis when we were doing a lot of quantitative easing. At first, gold was weak, but as soon as the economy started to recover and all that money was put into play and inflation was concerned, gold is actually quite a strong play in that scenario. So that could happen again, too. So expect the stocks to be range-bound. Expect energy to be range-bound. We'll be keeping a close eye on gold and inflation and how that all plays out. And we would think the dollar gets weak here. You know, the dollar was originally a flight to safety and very strong, but we are still talking about a lot of stimulus here. Now, the only reason why the dollar isn't going to crater is everyone else around the world is going to be doing a lot of stimulus, too. We don't think the dollar is going to go back up to the highs, but there is a limit of how far it can come down because Europe has its own recession, and they're going to have to do their own quantitative easing. You know, every major nation around the world has to deal with COVID and the economic slowdown, and their Federal Reserve or central banking system will do, and government will most likely do some kind of stimulus also. Just keep that in mind, but there's no reason to believe why we should break out, you know, relatively high U.S. dollar I don't think we'll go make new highs, but I don't see that U.S. dollar breaking below 90 either. You know, this mid to upper 90s probably makes a lot of sense until, well, as long as we're talking about stimulus and quantitative easing and still repercussions from COVID. And we'll leave it at that. So that is the macro backdrop. There is concern of loss of demand if we get spikes again in COVID cases. So that will be, you know, in the back of the mind of grain and livestock traders and energy too. But I think for the next couple of weeks, what's really going to be the most important is the weather. So we do have a WASDE report, July 10th. So that's on Friday. So this many times, I do not like end of the week WASDE reports. They're a real pain. They come out at 11. We've got an hour and 15 minutes, hour and 20 minutes. I'm sorry, 2 hours and 15 minutes, 2 hours and 20 minutes to trade it. And then it's the weekend. We don't open up again Sunday night. Meanwhile, the USDA report comes out when Europe and Asia are closed. So Europe and Asia are reacting to these reports on Sunday night. Never a big fan of it. I've always preferred I really like it when the USDA reports are Tuesday through Thursday, assuming we're in a 5-day work week. Just Monday gives everyone repair for the report to come by at least Tuesday. And if we have it on Thursday, then it's all traded by Friday on the close. But whatever, I'll get off my soapbox on that. So what are we going to be looking at here? Number one, corn, the weather. Okay, so the weather forecast just today turned cooler and wetter for the last half of this week and into the weekend. There's going to be more precipitation, and that caused the markets to sell off some for corn and soybeans particularly. Now, the next week, the following week, still looks hot and dry. But if we do get some timely rains around the nation during pollination, and considering where the subsoil is, moisture is, and the soil moisture is actually pretty good, considering, you know, the heat that we've had, and the crop conditions are pretty good coming to this year. We're down, I think, 2% of good to excellent on yesterday's rating, but we're still above 70% good to excellent. Hard not to argue for a trend line yield. I think some of the analysts are taking off this 180 or 181 or 182, but I think we'll start to hear more about trend line just with the good and the bad of the weather coming out now. I really think when the WASDE comes out on Friday, they're going to still use trendline yield. We are close enough, plus or minus one or two bushels, right? On whatever model you're using, you're looking at, we are close enough to trendline based on either the good to excellent ratings and the observations from private estimates and the weather services. There's really no reason to think why we'd be much above or much below trend right now. So that means USDA is going to use trend for corn, probably soybeans too. And then and that'll be the WASDE. But what's going to happen here over the next couple of weeks, especially next week, is if it gets real hot and dry, is there going to be a massive stress on the crop? Right now, the market doesn't think it so much, but it does know things can change, right? I mean, these weather models run every 12 hours, and today they added rain and cooler temps. You know what? Tonight they could take it right back out, and that's the problem that's the tricky thing with weather markets, but it does give you good opportunities to sell into. If you're a day trader or a swing trader, you can buy and sell the support basically on the ups and downs. As far as what it means for corn, let's say we're at trend line yield. Let's say corn is at trend line yield. We're at 82 million acres. We're probably at a 2.5 to 2.6 billion carryout. That's the case. You know, December futures are going into the low threes at harvest. There'd be no reason to go above 375 in that scenario. Unless the market really believes we're going to be losing yield and go below trend, all right? So as long as the market thinks trend line is still possible, that's where we're going to be or better. Would love to see corn go up to $4, but it's hard to see these corn go to 370, 375 without some real concern about us being below trend. Now, if we are below trend, and let's say we're at a 175 yield, let's say, you know, we do get some of this rain and moisture, but we also miss it, and it's real hot and dry for the next week or two afterwards, and it does hurt some places, and we're at a 175 national yield, which would imply we're down a couple of percentage points off the trend. We're still at an ending stocks of about 2.2 or 2.3. So just to give everyone an idea, you know, we have to be, let's say we're 5% lower. We have a 5% yield loss. If we have a 5% yield loss, then we're just under 170 bushels per acre. And at, for the trend on corn. And at that point, we're below 2 billion. All right, we're about 1.8, 1.9 billion on the expected carryout. And this is without adjusting demand, by the way. And you can make the case we're probably going to lose a little bit in ethanol, a little bit more. And we can even lose a little bit more in exports because, unfortunately, the high price of corn right now is not we are not competitive with South America. And Argentina is just getting all the business. I think we're 30 cents over Argentina corn right now at the ports, their ports versus the Gulf here. So that's not great. So that could even hurt our exports. Exports more. So we're price. If we end up having a trend line yield, we're price rationing when we shouldn't be, when we don't need to be. And that kind of that happened to us a little bit last summer also. But we're going to hang around this 350, 360 area in corn until we know more about the crop and we can confirm that we'll be at least at trend line. So that's the next couple of weeks. That's going to play out. The $1 million question I get all the time whenever I talk, whenever I meet people. What does it take to get to $4 corn? It takes to ending stocks of 1.5 billion, and that, which would be 10% stock to usage or lower, and that doesn't happen without a 165 yield. 165, what is that? 165 divided by 178.5. So that's about an 7 to 8% reduction in yield, and you got to ask yourself, is that possible right now? Are we? Could we really lose that much yield? Could we go to 167? I don't think that's in the cards. I think that we could be trend line. We could be even a little bit lower than trend line if it stays hot and dry for the next couple of weeks. But if we get this cooler weather at the end of the week and we do get some rain, and it looks like that ridge is going to push out more to the west, just the latest models just don't speak. It's just not screaming drought of 2012 is what basically what it is. And that's going to be tough for the bulls here. So it's probably time to, I know in my marketing program, we're about 65 or 70% sold in new crop. We're sold out of old crop. Hard to get any more sold than that, right? But if I were so I'm not going to make any sales, but if I were catching up or trading the market or hedging the board, I'd be looking into buying puts and selling calls. You could probably do maybe I'd be looking into the Decembers, buying the 340s, selling the 370s. Maybe we'd be looking at selling the futures and then buying a short-dated call at the end of July and just, you know, for 5-6 cents and having that as the risk while we're short the futures. Something like that. I have a couple ideas, and I'll send them to my client list. If you don't get those, let me know if you'd like to be on that list. Or if you want to know what I'm doing, you're not working with me, you'd like to know, feel free to give me a call, and we can always talk about that, and you can see what it would be like to be a client here. But I think that's the way to play it. If the forecasts are playing out the way it is right now, currently this last run, we'll probably be around trend line. We're going to be around a 2.5 billion carryout, which eventually that suggests corn low $3, I think. I don't think we're sub 3. I know a lot of people are still talking about 280, 290. Maybe that's the case, but I think to get there, you got to be, you know, the acres came down too much, and I don't know how we're going to have above trend yields in that, in the current scenario right now. So that's where I am on the corn market. If you need to catch up on sales, let me know. We can talk about it. I don't know how much more we can really rally unless the weather changes again, which, again, can happen every 12 hours. These models can change in a big way. That's the fun of the summer market, of the weather market. But that's how things are going to play out right now. As far as soybeans go, I also got at the end of this, after I talk about soybeans, I got a trade idea about corn versus beans. As much as soybeans go, they have 83.8 million acres, trend line's about 50. That puts ending stocks around 400, a little north of 400. What's interesting about soybeans is if we lose 4% reduction in yield, right? We're at 48. You had a 48 bushels per acre in soybeans. We're sub 300 on the ending stocks. And we have a demand story. You know, the problem with corn is there's no demand story. Like, there's, you know, ethanol is actually a negative right now because of what's going on in the world and with energy prices and all that. Soybeans still has a demand story to it. So not only are the stocks tighter, but the demand potential is better too. So which is why I like soybeans over corn. I've been talking, you know, we've been kind of in and out of that spread now for a while. And on this big rally up on corn, I still kind of like it. I still like being long soybeans against corn on a ratio. But if you're interested in that, let me know. But again, at a 48 yield, I'm not saying we're going to have a 48 yield, but, you know, the trend line's close to 50. And if it's hot and it's dry and, you know, some of these soybeans don't take and they were a little bit lower below the yield because we were hotter for the last half of July and also August, we could be at a, you know, the 48 yield isn't out of the question, and sub 300 soybeans isn't out of the question. Now, I don't think we're going to 10 bucks, and we're already at 9 now, but it does seem like soybeans have a lot of support in the, let's say, the high 8s to the low 9s until we know more about this crop. And the I don't think the funds are wanting to sell it. Actually, the funds are getting long, and I don't blame them. I'd be getting long, too. I mean, and under 10% stock to usage is bullish for soybeans, especially if China comes in with phase 1. So right now what we're seeing is the funds are only short about 200,000 contracts of corn. At one point they were almost short 300,000, and they've gone to a healthy net long of soybeans. Last time I checked, I want to say it was like 60,000. So I'm not surprised. That's what the numbers suggest, just based. And here's another thing with that soybean versus corn trade. If the weather gets real bad, both corn and soybeans will have yield issue. So what's going to happen is corn will go from being really big to not as big. But soybeans can go from being, you know, adequate to tight. And in that scenario, you would think soybeans would go up more. If we're just at trend line yields, you know, 400 million stocks for soybeans really isn't burdensome. It's adequate, right? But if, you know, we have a trend line or higher for corn, we can talk about, you know, too much corn, right? And then you would think, well, corn would then fall faster on a percentage-wise than soybeans. So I still like that. I still like that idea. And you kind of have, you may have to leg into it, or the timing's going to be right. But if you have any questions about how to go, how to do that, let me know. So as far as marketing goes, we are only 30% sold for soybeans. We sold some way early in the season for like 970 and 980 basis no futures. And this was late last year. And then we just made another sale at $9. We hadn't sold, you know, which was just recently basis nov. You know, we're kind of want to see if we can get up to 915 and 925, but this would be the time to do it. So I never, as a general rule, we try not to get more than 50% sold on new crop, especially if we have the theory that we're going to store a lot of it. So that's how we're 70% sold on corn, just because the overall picture isn't great for corn, but it's better for beans. So we may try to sell another 20% between now and, let's say, over the next, I don't know, few weeks, if we can get a nice little weather rally. But as soon as we hit 50%, we'll probably stick with that with soybeans, because we're out of, in the newsletter, we're out of old crop soybeans, we're out of old crop corn. We're 70% sold in the corn and new crop. We're going to go from 30 to 50 in this period here for beans, and that'll be it from a marketing side. On the spec side or the hedging side, I'd hold off on selling soybeans, but I would start to look at getting short again the corn market, and I'll have some ideas about that too. Also, the spreads, the corn spreads, like Dees corn, were SEP 20 versus March 21, I think those carries are going to widen out. As soon as the market thinks that we're not, there's no risk of us being tight, and by being tight, I mean at least it's 2 billion or lower carry out. 2 billion or lower carry out, again, is like 172, 173 is that 2 billion line. It might even be higher because we're going to lose some export and ethanol demand. I mean, it could end up being 170 being the 2 billion line when it's all said and done. And if the market just doesn't think we're going to get sub 170 on yields, those spreads should widen out, in my opinion. In my opinion, those spreads should widen out, and there's probably a lot of meat on the bone left on those bear spreads. So that's where we're seeing corn goes. But it's a critical, critical time of year. A lot of the stuff is easier said than done, especially when the forecasts are changing. And you know, with farmers that have crop in the ground, they don't want to get too aggressive until they know they have a good crop. But this is it. This is the time. We've got the WASDE coming up. We've got the weather markets in July. If we start seeing reasonable temps, enough precipitation, and they think the crop is in, especially for the corn market, it could have some risks for the downside. So that's what we'll be talking about lately. I'm not going to focus a ton on the livestock over the next couple of weeks. This is really a very critical time for the grain markets. But just so we're all aware, still long December hogs below 50, and I'm still long December cattle, live cattle, below 100. Like I said before, kind of doing those in two lots, right? You buy two, and if you want to trade one, because we bounce off the lows, great, but always keep a hold of that core position. Or you can just keep the full position on the whole time. I still like it. I still think there's a lot of value in there. Crude oil, we are out. We were buying it, December in like the low 30s. We are not being able to break through out of those low 40s. Hard to see it without some real economic firepower coming through. So there'll be a time to get long crude oil again. We're going to take profit and step aside. I still like buying the stock market. I've been talking it for a while. If you want to take some profits, I think this is not a bad time to do it. If we start seeing more and more cases of corona, we can come down another 10%, right? We can go from 3,100 to 29 or 2,800 on the S&P. Wouldn't shock me if that would happen. So for those of you following us and been buying, the dips on the S&P, probably time to ring the register on that too. And that's what we'll be doing. Bean oil, I can make the case in the next week. We've been long bean oil. I like it as a long-term story. I re-rolled July to October. I still like bean oil a lot. I would stick with it. I think it has the best fundamental bullish case for any of the major grain markets. And rice, I'm going to save for another podcast on the rice market. I don't think it's going to be doing a whole lot anyways this week or next week. And then we'll just kind of go from there. We had been short sugar. It's come back to where we got in. So we'll just keep an eye on the sugar market. 1260 is the 200-day moving average. If you're in that, you got to get out. I think we'll end up heading lower. There's going to be a lot of supply. There's going to be a lot of competition for ethanol and energy prices on the sugar end of it too. I don't see a whole lot of reason to get excited about it, but we will see. So again, if you work with me, you like any of these ideas, spec or hedge or marketing, give me a call. My local number here is 312-706-7610. If you like what you hear, interested in what it's like to be working with me, you can give me a call too. If you like this podcast, please give it a positive review on iTunes. Feel free to send it along anyone who might like it. Also, if you'd like to check out my newsletter, you can request it on your phone. All you got to do is it's number 33777-33777. To that number, just text the message Turner, my last name, T-U-R-N-E-R, follow the instructions, and you can check out the newsletter too. All right, and we got the WASDE on Friday. So I'll be putting out an email probably tomorrow and Thursday talking about a little bit about the WASDE. It's basically going to be WASDE and Weather Week. And we'll go over different scenarios there too. So have a good one, everyone. Stay cool, and I will talk to you all later.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors, such as risk tolerance, tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.